Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will those who are saved be few? Not only a good question, but an important one. We pray that friends and loved ones who were raised in the church and have seemingly abandoned it will return. It concerns us to see how our nation is so quickly rejecting biblical teachings on moral issues. Will those who are saved be few? How did Jesus answer that question? He didn't. Instead, he replied that the door to heaven was narrow and entering was a struggle. Not everyone will. Naturally, those who are closed out will begin to beg and protest that, we ate and drank in your presence, you taught in your streets. But Jesus doesn't let them continue. He cuts them right off and says, I do not know where you came from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. For 2 weeks in a row, our gospel lessons have recorded our Lord making seemingly harsh statements. You'll recall last week, Jesus said that he came to bring division. Now we have this. What do we make of these scriptures? Well, in the context of the book of Luke up to this chapter, it shows that the very people who should be so eager to embrace the gospel are instead rejecting it. The door is surely open to them, they thought. They had the right pedigree. They were proud of going above and beyond and doing works of the law. Surely the door, though narrow, will be open to people like them. Is it? It is not. Nobody deserves to go to heaven. Yet Jesus opens the door to sinners who are called by the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of their sins, cast them to the cross. Salvation comes by God's grace through faith in Jesus, not by pedigree, and not by doing good works. Faith in Jesus Christ and salvation are not rewards for good behavior. Jesus does not give a yes or a no answer to the question put to him. Instead, he tells a parable about people who have rejected the gospel. He says, "For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you came from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I don't know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.'" What a stinging rebuke this is. It's particularly stinging to anyone who thinks that mere exposure to the gospel means your bags are packed for eternity. Okay, you heard our Lord's teaching. Did you believe them? Then what about those folks that ate and drank with Jesus? They, of all people, should have been the most devout. Now, of course, we're living 2,000 years later, but the Lord's point remains. Mere exposure to the gospel makes you no more a believer than watching a television program about doctors makes you a surgeon. Luke is using a form of grammar here that means that their experience with Jesus was temporary, a one-shot thing. Here today, gone tomorrow. It was true then, and it's true today also. We must never confuse salvation with a childhood vaccination for smallpox or something. You get it once and you never, ever have to think about it again. If someone's so-called faith is like that, well, they need to repent. And they need to return to an active, continuing life in God's word and sacraments. One or two brief, fleeting encounters doesn't cut it. It has to be a lifetime connection. Now, Jesus is the master in that little parable that he told. And he doesn't say how many are saved. But he does say that he has no connection to those who aren't. I do not know you means that they were the ones who severed the relationship with Christ. Jesus so lovingly seeks us and lovingly grants us his word. And if it's rejected, if it's ignored, the fault is with us, not with Jesus. Yeah, the real question to ask is, does the master know me? Well, it's easy to answer. Am I regularly in the master's presence through worship, faithfully receiving the sacrament, diligent in studying his word? Well, if you are, then the answer is yes. The master knows you. How can he not know you? When you are in the places where Jesus can be found, the word and the sacraments, well, then you and Jesus have each other. You have him and he has you, and you're one of the saved. But what about the people that the master doesn't know? Is there any hope for them? Is God hearing your prayers for them? Yes, he is. Now, our English translation has Jesus calling them workers of evil. The original language, Greek, calls them the unrighteous. Now, there is a difference, yes. When you think of an evil person, you think of a criminal psychopath. But our Lord here isn't talking about people who belong in prison. He's talking about non-believers. And as you know, there can be non-believers who are really wonderful people and do many good things for the community and for their family and friends. So Jesus is talking about the unrighteous or the non-believer. A person who is unrighteous just doesn't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to them yet. A Christian has received all the gifts of Christ's righteousness. It now covers their sins. We are among the righteous because Jesus made a great exchange. He took the curse of our sins with him to the cross. And from the cross, he pours out his saving grace and righteousness upon all who believe. We were all once unrighteous because we lacked Jesus. When we were baptized, even as a tiny baby, we were presented to the Master, and he came into our lives. In baptism, even as a little infant, you receive the righteousness of Christ. Maybe it came to you later in life, as an older person, as an adult. You still receive the righteousness of Christ. I often like to tell the story of when I first became a pastor in Detroit. I was asked to visit the sister of a member of our church's altar guild, a lady who was just such a wonderful person. And she said that her sister had severed her relationship with the church the day after she got confirmed. Her name was Elsie. Well, Elsie was dying in the hospital, and I talked to her, and I said, you know, Jesus will never cast away anybody that calls to him. Do you affirm that you were baptized and confirmed and believe Jesus is your Savior? And she said, yes. And I said, you are now a member of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. And she died 2 or 3 days later. Jesus called her back, even at the end of her life. So yes, there is hope that someone who has rejected the righteousness of Christ can receive it at any point in their lives. You can be assured that the narrow door is open to all those who believe in Jesus and who repents. Jesus knows who belongs to him. He said in John chapter 6, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Christians have his righteousness, and it makes it possible for us to enter through the narrow door. Everyone who has struggled to enter through that door did so because Jesus struggled first. He paved the way for us to enter through his suffering, death, and resurrection. You know, the book of Revelation pictures that narrow door as the pearly gates, gates of pearl. As you remember from a couple months ago from all those sermons I did on the book of Revelation, there are 12 gates of pearl in the walls of heaven, three on either side. Now, you know, if you you served in the military or something, you know that a door, a gate, is the weakest point of a fortification. You don't want a lot of those. It can be pretty bad. But there are so many doors to heaven because Jesus is teaching us that through faith in him, you are not locked out. Instead, all those doors mean you have abundant entrance through faith in Jesus Christ. What a glorious blessing it is to know and to be known by the Master. When we sin, he accepts our repentance and always pours out on us his forgiveness. He gives us life in abundance, full and free salvation. We have his righteousness. He opens the door and welcomes you to his table. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for the offertory.